Welcome to the Coder Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and this is a double header episode talking all things about Elixir, and it's mainly around two releases. So that's Elixir 1.5 and Phoenix 1.3, which is the much beloved Elixir framework. And that one alone, I really thought about doing as a separate episode, but these releases come so close together. And they're both great releases, so why not put them into one episode and not have to wait an extra week for another episode to come out. So we'll get into the first one, Elixir 1.5. So this includes new features, enhancements, and bug fixes. So while Elixir 1.4 was focused on tools for concurrency and scalability, 1.5 brings many improvements to the developer experience and quality of life. And 1.4 wasn't released too long ago, so it's been a pretty short release cycle, but as you can see, it's more so about that whole DX or development experience, as well as just adding some nicer things that have been much needed or requested from the community. So continuing on, as we will see, many of those are powered by the latest Erlang OTP 20. This is also the last Elixir release that supports Erlang OTP 18. So really important if you are looking to stay on 18 that you are going to have some blockers in upgrading Elixir. So just keep that in mind. It seems like most of the community generally keeps things up to date, at least from what I see. So that shouldn't be any problems there. So getting on with the notes here. So all these notes you can find on the Elixirlang blog. This is where I just abstracted them from. So first of all, UTF-8 atoms, so function names and variables can have UTF-8 characters in it. I'm not really too sure how this affects people in regards to when you're setting up atoms. I'd really like to know if you know exactly why. Please leave a comment, send me a tweet at CoderCatchUp on Twitter, or an email, CoderCatchUp@gmail.com. I'd really love to know the benefits of actually supporting UTF atoms, so that'd be awesome. Next thing is IEX helpers and breakpoints. So this got a bit of love, which I think is a really nice inclusion or updates. So basically, there's a ton of little enhancements to the developer experience. One of the big ones I think is great is the auto completion system. It's now capable of auto completing variables and user imports. It just makes things just that little bit easier for you. It's a nice, simple inclusion. It doesn't seem like it's that big, but it definitely comes in handy when you're working in IEX or any console for that matter. IEX also got new functions. So one of them is exports. Just a single argument function for listing all functions and macros in a module. Really handy there. And then finally, there's also features a breakpoint system for code debugging when you're running on Erlang and OTP 20. Breakpoints are super handy to have, and being able to just step through your code there just through IEX is brilliant. I really love that. It's something that I use in Ruby quite a lot with other breakpoint systems, such as pry and bybug, so it's nice there. There is also exception.blame, so this takes three arguments. It's a new function basically that's capable of attaching debug information to certain exceptions. So currently, this is used to augment function clause errors with a summary of all clauses, which parts of clause match and which ones didn't. So you can kind of set it up that you want to check out for certain exceptions and debug those. It's really nice to have that in there. Next thing, the streamlined child specs. So basically, version 1.5, it streamlines how supervisors are defined and used within Elixir. So Elixir now allows child specifications, which specify how a child process is supervised, to be defined in modules. And basically, if you look at the code example in the blog, so if you check that out, you'll see that it's just a lot simpler API in general. That's probably the main thing that you'll get from it. For me, being new to Elixir, I think it's a definite great improvement in terms of working with it in code. So next thing, which is probably the biggest one that I think is, just from me personally, so Elixir 1.3 introduced the calendar module with the underlying time, date, naive date time, and date time data types. And, you know, that's great. You know, it's good to see. But they finally have announced that that basically they considered the base calendar API to be completely finished in 1.5. So when it was released previously, it was I wouldn't say a work in progress, but a staged release. So this one includes a whole bunch and just basically finishes it off. Of course, if there's more things you need with calendars and dates, there's additional modules that you can get for that. But basically, this release, it has many enhancements and stuff like that. So one of the big ones is like date ranges and the ability to convert between different calendars, which is super handy if you're doing any kind of time zone stuff. So really nice there if you want to do any kind of conversion. So that's good to see. And to wrap it up, compiler. Big one here. So compiler compilation time has been reduced by 10 to 15%, but in some applications have been seeing it by 30%. Now, hopefully your compile times are quick anyway, but having that kind of improvement certainly can improve things quite massively. So it's good to see that there's been that big of an improvement in the actual compilation time. So now getting onto Elixir 1.3, this is probably the most exciting one out of it all, and it's probably the biggest release that I've seen from Phoenix ever, I guess. So there's a bunch of notes here. There's some videos you should watch, definitely watch. I've got all links in the show notes so you can check those out. But basically, just going through some of the notes here that I've extracted from the blog. So Phoenix 1.3 is out. This release focuses on code generators with improved project structure. That's the big one, the project structure. First class umbrella project support, so more like a standard Elixir umbrella project. And scaffolding that reinforces Phoenix as a web interface to your greater Elixir application. So one of these big things behind it essentially is restructuring the Phoenix kind of project that you have and making it more so that you think of the Phoenix part being literally your web interface, your interface to the web, and how you'd split everything else out into domains, or what in Phoenix 1.3 they're calling contexts. And it's just a better way to structure your code, and also then keeps things in line with how you'd start a standard Elixir umbrella project. So it's keeping that consistency there as well. So also making it into the 1.3 release is a version 2 of the channel wire protocol that resolves race conditions under certain messaging patterns, as well as an improved serialization format. So if you're doing anything with channels there, that's a big change. I didn't actually check it to see how much of a change it was in the API, if it was just the underlying parts, but something you should definitely check out prior to upgrading your applications. So if you want a detailed overview, as I said, there's videos here. I've got a link, and it's a really good video. I highly recommend it. It was recorded at Lone Star Elixir. It's a great video. It outlines basically everything and the decisions behind certain things as well. Now, one of the other big things that I really liked about this, and I was seeing in people who were writing posts about and stuff, was it seems really minor, but basically you'd have to write Phoenix in whatever you want, right? So there's a lot of typing to write Phoenix now. There's just a PHX prefix, and it makes typing a lot more pleasant. Like trying to write Phoenix, I always found that I mistyped it. So it's nice to see you can just type PHX now. Of course, if you still have applications or some kind of scripts that require you to actually have Phoenix in there, it's there and it's fine. It'll basically be removed in 1.4 of Phoenix. So you do have a little bit of time to upgrade that. So I recommend that you start upgrading that as soon as you can once you hit 1.3. Now, as I was saying about 1.3, one of the things that is really important and one of the things I like about Elixir in general is most of the time you don't really have to worry about too much when things change. So with 1.3, it is a backwards compatible release, so upgrading can be as easy as just bumping your Phoenix dependency. So basically you just go into your mix EXX, EXS, so just bumping that to 1.3 and you're good to go. So if you want to adopt the new conventions, highly recommend checking out the upgrade guides, and I really do recommend checking out the video as well, because that will give you a good understanding about why those things are moving and how they're moving. So really important there. So one of the big things about this kind of context system, I'll touch on that in just a second, but I really want to make that a focus of the 1.3 release, because it is a pretty major shift in how you generate your files using the generators. It's also how your directory structure is set up and how your code interacts as well. So the got here are heading design with intent. So the new project and code generators take the lessons learned from the last 2 years and push folks towards better design decisions as they're learning. So new projects have a lib/my_app directory for business logic and a lib_my_app web directory that holds all Phoenix related web modules, which are the web interface into your greater Elixir application. So along with new project structure comes new phx.gen.html and phx.gen.json generators that adopt these goals of isolating your web interface from your domain. So this is really important. This is what's going to lead up to my next part where I talk about context, which I've labeled in the notes here, what the context. So when you generate a HTML or JSON resource with the phx.gen command, whether you specify HTML or JSON with that, up to you. Phoenix will generate code inside a context. Now, contexts are dedicated modules that expose and group related functionality. For example, anytime you call Elixir's standard library, so they've got the example here of logger.info or stream.map, you are accessing different contexts. Internally, Elixir's logger is made of multiple modules, such as logger.config and logger.backends, but we never interact with those modules directly. We call the logger module the context exactly because it exposes the groups of all of the logging functionality. So it's really important to know and get your head around context. At times I feel like, yep, I've got it. And other times I'm like, well, maybe there's something I'm slightly missing. So dive into that, really try and get a good understanding because it'll make your development life with 1.3 a lot better. And this is something I've actually been doing with Ruby framework Hanami. They have a very similar idea of splitting things out into their own domain. So very great idea. Like working with it is much more enjoyable and splitting things up, having these defined boundaries is really nice. And to finish it up, there's actually action fallback. At first, I didn't think this was super awesome, but now I find it I quite like it. So basically, the new action fallback feature allows you to specify a plug that is called if your control action fails to return a valid plug connection struct. So the action fallback plug's job is then to take the connection before the controller action, as well as the result, and convert it to a valid plug response. So think about if you're creating, or their example here, they've got you've got a nice JSON API because it basically removes that duplication across controllers. Like think of like a 404, for example. So you abstract that out to somewhere higher up, and that basically if something doesn't come through as valid, bang, it will hit that and run your 404. You can do that for whatever you need to do. And of course, this can translate into your web application, could be an API. Whatever, it just gives you a nice way to fall back without littering your controller with other responses that you might be duplicating a lot. So it's nice to see that abstraction there. But that's essentially it. 1.3, I'm pretty excited about this. I've really been holding off getting right back into Phoenix. So I started off getting into Phoenix, but when I knew 1.3 was being developed, I really just wanted to hold off to because I knew there was some big changes coming structurally with it and some of the thinking. So I held off learning that and just kept with just your basic Elixir. And I'm kind of glad I did because there is a bit of a shift in how Phoenix is set up and how it works. So that's essentially it. I'd love to know your thoughts. What are your thoughts on 1.5 of the Elixir release? And what are your thoughts on Phoenix 1.3? I'd really love to know. You can send through an email to codacatchup@gmail.com. You can send a tweet to @codacatchup. And you can also just leave a comment on codacatchup.com for this episode. If you are listening to this on YouTube, please leave a comment in the comment section below. And if you like this podcast episode, please give a like and subscribe if you're enjoying it and want to be notified of when the latest kind of podcast episodes come out. Just click on the little bell icon. If you're listening to this in iTunes, I'd really appreciate a rating and review. That'd be awesome. But that's essentially it. And we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.